Blog Talk Radio.
What kind of music? Kind of guy. What kind of takeoff? Hey, hey. Call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke. Nah, bitch, I spit dope. I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Flexing like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I've been known. You were hating on the low. I've been known. They were hating on the low. I've been known. He was hating on the low. I've been known. Hating on the low, I been new, I been soft. Niggas flaw, niggas fake, but it's straight, nothing to say. I'm busy getting that cake. How you my nigga when your true colors show that you fugazi? Paid attention, I seen it coming and witnessed it daily. Whole scratching, they messy, bitches be broken, be petty. Hate on the low in this show, cause they hate the way I get fed it. But I'm so up with my hustle, staying down, got me every penny. Nights ain't have a penny, hurt me so bad, can't forget it. No, 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 can't forget it. So I wake up and go get it, really from city to city, state to state, that where I'm going. Country to country, they know it's coming, they know I'ma blow. I'm worth a billion, put off some millions, I'm flipping for show. I took some losses, it cost me chances, I took for this spot. I put it all in the pot, fuck it, just look at me now. I'm worth a whole lot of K, I was broke, now I'm straight. I done grew up with my faith, so stay the fuck out my face. Lord, call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke. Nah, bitch, I spit dope. I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Flexing like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I've been known. You were hating on the low. I've been known. They were hating on the low. I've been known. He was hating on the low. I've been known. She was hating on the low.
I say one time for the one time, cause they hate now. Two time for the two time, cause they fake now. Three time for the three time, cause I'm straight now. Now I'ma get money every way and every day now. Put the nigga start hating. Fuck nigga, why you flagging? You can tell I'm straight. You need much, gotta ask me. I done came home, ran it up, now I'm on go. Jealousy and envy, got no boy hating on the low. But I been new. That they were hating on the low. I see through all that fake light window. But I'm D'd up from the feet up. I need pesos. I re-up with that re-up from the same dope. My feet up, got my teeth up. And you still broke my feet up. Got that teeth up, but you still broke. You still broke, fuck nigga. You nigga know what it is, nigga. We getting real money over here, nigga. This can of gang, nigga, on fresh stop.
What? Call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke. Nah, bitch, I spit dope. I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Flexing like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I've been known. You were hating on the low. I've been known. They were hating on the low. I've been known. He was hating on the low. I've been known. She was hating on the low.
People, what's up, world? Let's get it. Another Sunday fun day. Let's get into these topics. You already know how we do. So roll something up, light something up, smoke something up, kick it with your people.
For Shizzo. And shout out to all of the countries and everybody in the continents and the countries and the crevices that tune in to us. We love you. We love you. We love you. Shout out to the top five countries that are tuning in to the show. Y'all lighting it up. Y'all lacing it up, you know. Number five is going to be Australia. I'm sorry, this is Mopart, but Australia, the land down under. Number four, United Kingdom, y'all used to battle between number two and three, and now y'all four. What happened here?
what happened is Switzerland came in and just wrecked shop, you know. Shout out to Switzerland, number three, coming in our top five countries tuning in. Canada, number two. United States, number one. Shout out to everybody everywhere. Supreme gratitude for the love and support that you guys listen to us Sunday nights and the archive shows. Salute, salute, salute. And much love. Man, this week for me, right, Mo has us labeling our weeks. And this week for me is called Ascending. Ascending, man.
Oh, okay.
And so, man, I had an amazing week. Wait, first of all, we're going to send our love and well wishes to Smooth. Smooth actually caught COVID this week, and he is not in a position to catch COVID. That's why he's been playing it very safe, and he caught COVID. He was not doing well the last time he messaged me. I know how he is. He's very vain. If I just, like, keep messaging him because I was, then he'll just start ignoring me. He likes to just kind of deal with stuff or whatever. It scares me, but that's just how he is. So, you know, we're going to send prayers for his speedy recovery that he can, you know, bounce back from, you know, this. He did great over 2 years, and New Orleans was a hot spot for a long time. And he just stayed working and stayed focused, and he didn't catch it, and then he just caught it. So
wow.
Hopefully everything works out in our favor in reference to that. But this week is called Ascending for me, Ascending. Man, so this week it was a lot of reflection that I've been doing. And so, you know, like if people know me, you know, like, me, I'm constantly growing. I'm constantly like, okay, I'm constantly evaluating what's best for me, right? What's best for me, what's best for the people around me. I can see people around me that don't mean me no good, their intentions are ill, or their thoughts, because I can see people's thoughts. And a lot of, you know, back in the day, I just, you know, be petty, and now I don't have the bandwidth for that. So I got my leques this week. And that was an honor for me. Aleques are the bees that you see, people that follow the follow Ifa, Ifai, Santera, Lukumi. You know, like it's all based upon that. But I strictly study Yoruba land, okay, Western Africa, Nigerian Yoruba, right? And so some of the things that I say may be very different from others, because most people that are flamboyant, that are out, they study like Caribbean Ifa. They call it Ifa, it's Ifai in Africa. And so it's just like words and meanings and definitions, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, they mean something totally different in each place. So the person that has been that person, my babulao, has been the same person from when I started till now. And so the way the way that I'm taught is basically, you know, from Western Africa. So I got my aleques. I do not have all of them because they did not have all of them. I did not even expect to get them this week, but that came out of, you know, nowhere. So that was weird, but it came, and it was like, okay. Some people are caught into certain traditions and things like that. You got some people that didn't purchase their alekes, that they were given. You got some people that, you know, they go through a ceremony. In Yoruba land, as long as you know your principal Orisha. So when you hear somebody say, what Orisha has your head, they speaking in Caribbean term, right? In Yoruba land, it's your principal Orisha, right? And so anything that I say, she'll make sure that she aligns me with the proper language. But as long as you know your principal Orisha, you can, you know, start to get, you can get your elekes and you can get them blessed. And you have to get them blessed by a high priestess or higher. So that was amazing. But I've been getting so many downloads this week, right? And downloads are basically thoughts and confirmations and messages, okay, that generally come to me in my sleep. And I've been getting an extreme amount of downloads, and it's like, okay, it's time to switch things around. I prefer, honestly, like, unless it's my partner or somebody that I have a soul contract with, and that's rare, but to explain that, because Mo, when I say something, Mo be like, what that mean? When you have a soul contract with somebody, that means you have a child with them, or it is like a partner that has been with you from lifetime to lifetime to lifetime, right? And these are soul contracts. If you have a child with somebody, understanding spirituality, you have a soul contract with them. You had a fulfillment. Now, this could be your soul mate. You know, we can be like karmic or whatever, but you have a soul contract. So the people that you have children with, you have soul contract with. Black people, you know, they call them baby daddies or baby mamas, and, you know, I can't stand them, okay? And so I pay attention to that, because if you don't know the obligation of your soul contract, then you can't look at me or give me any advice in reference to any soul contract that I have. I handle them the way that I choose, because I know you don't even know how to handle your shit, right? Anyway, unless I have a soul contract with you, or you're my partner, right, then I prefer really to be like by myself, me and my children. You know what I'm saying? And so you got to think like November of the year before, which is November 2020, I had started bringing people in my energy. I had somebody come stay here, stay with me from November till like June or July of last year. And then they were gone, and then I had somebody else come stay with me from October till now. I think they're leaving at the end of the first quarter. So that's, you know, that was a temporary situation. At the beginning, I was like, oh, you can stay forever. And then, you know, you start seeing habits and seeing how people move, and you're like, oh, yeah, this ain't going to be better. But... You know, and it's no bad vibes, but it's, you know, what it is. So I've had people in my energy, and I love it, right? I love to have people around, but a lot of people can't understand me because I'm so to myself. Like, my kids, they come in the room once a day, bother me, jump on my bed, da-da-da, and then they go. They in the house, they doing whatever. They got the whole fucking house to themselves. You know what I'm saying? But I have cameras everywhere. So I think just getting back to that energy, you know what I'm saying? You never expect anything from anyone, but you can tell a person's soul by their actions. You understand? So that's the number one thing that you have to remember in reference to dealing with anybody. Never expect anything from anyone, but you can tell a person's soul by their actions, right? And so once I see that your soul is dark, I no longer want to intertwine with that energy on a personable level. You have to intertwine with people that are dark or light, you know, and so on a regular basis anyways. But once I see that your soul is dark, I'm not trying to have you too close to my energy. So that's me really getting back to just me and the kids and figuring it out, right? I was great, like, My youngest son, godmother, like, she's always, like, had my back when it come to him. But she has been chilling. She's been chilling lately. So I told her, I was like, yeah, we got to get back into rotation on how we had things going. So that makes sense, so that I can handle my business the way that I need to. But, yeah, it's ascending. Like it's a lot of things that's happening in my mind and around me that I know it's time to focus and align my energy, and I'm happy about it. A lot of things that I see, me going deeper into spirituality, like spiritual growth, you know, you never know what to expect on this journey, right? And so you just go with it. Still focused and working on my goals for the end of the fourth quarter, end of the first quarter, I keep saying fourth. So you know, with retirement, you know, I want it to be at the end of the first quarter, but it's a chance that it could be at the end of the fourth quarter. But either way, you know, as long as it's this year, I'll take it. Right. I'll do what I need to do. But yeah, I just, man, like, it's just been a very powerful week for me. I did my Tarot and Chill course for my YouTube channel. I do it every month. Supreme gratitude to, you know, my spirit team for allowing me to be a guiding light for people. And I think I did that last night. And the most exciting part is not just teaching them and giving them, you know what I'm saying, the guide on being ready and prepared for whatever life has for you. It's the emails that I received the next day, the thanks, the man, you opened up my eyes to things on a different level. That's why I do it. That's what makes me feel good. You know what I'm saying? Yes. So, yeah, man, it's rewarding. It's spiritually rewarding week, man. Every week is not going to be, you know, the same. Some weeks you're going to have financially rewarding week. Some you're going to have love rewarding, spiritually rewarding. So you have to just, you know, balance and just be happy for the space that you are in right now. You know what I'm saying? So this week was a very spiritually rewarding week for me. How was your week?
Yeah, so my week was good. You know, this week I'm calling it balance, organization, and peace of mind. So balance, balance, because I'm balanced, like you just said, a lot of energies. Because, you know, I got a lot of things, you know, a lot of hustles that I do. Not a lot, but, you know, of the few that I do them with, you know, a lot of energy and a lot of focus and a lot of passion. So, you know, I just balancing those. And then, like I said, going into the quote-unquote new year, you know, like I got a couple ways that, you know, like my new year that I really celebrate now is like the astrology new year, you know, as I move forward with my spirituality. But, you know, the Western culture's new year, which was, you know, last week, whenever I go into the new year now, unless like I'm out of town, that's the only time I'll probably like turn up or something like that. But other than that, when I'm here, I just like to clean, organize, and really just set the tone as soon as that clock strikes 12. And, you know, that's what I did. And then, like I said, those are the last couple days of my staycation. So the organization came into play because I really wanted to, you know, anything that was bringing me, like, I guess, not anxiety, but just stress or anger, you know, I really wanted to kind of massage that and kind of lead that in 2021. So, you know, me and my wife, we usually on the same page, but the only time that we really beef is when it comes to just organization, because I'm a very organized person. I think that's what I'm claiming now. You know what I'm saying? I think I'm like the quote unquote god of organization, you know what I'm saying, in a way, because you know, I figured out that's one of my superpowers, you know what I'm saying? So I had to kind
of say the god of organization.
Yeah, right? So so I had to kind of, because I had to realize this is my superpower. Like, this is my genius, you know what I'm saying? So I would beef with my wife a lot because I would just want her to get organized. But, you know, that's not her gift, you know what I'm saying? She has different gifts. So I would be
beefing,
you know,
there you
wondering,
go.
Like, why you can't get it right, you know what I'm saying? But then I had to set back, kick back, and just relax and analyze it, like, because that's your gift, you know what I'm saying? I'm here to, you know, to help her get organized in a way, you know what I'm saying? Because she just can't, you know, do it because she has other things that she's great at. So that was one of the things I really wanted to do while she was gone, and I achieved that goal. So, you know, so now it's just getting harmony, you know what I'm saying, with that. And then just peace of mind, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, when you get peace of mind, that's when you can get all the law of attraction, you know what I'm saying? Because now you opening up avenues and ways and new things. And that's why I said why organize, because that's the only way I can really see into the future and anticipate, you know, blessings. So That's what I'm about. And it's funny that you on your spiritual journey as well. I see starting out the year. It's like, you know, like minds, they can kind of link up or whatever and kind of sync. Because I'm back on my Egyptian yoga. That's the philosophy of enlightenment. I like to just read this book every couple years. Every 2-3 years, I bring it back out and just read it and just really rebalances me and gets my focus right. So, you know, Africa, man, I'm so glad that, you know, us as people really rediscovering our roots. You know, you with, you know, what you're into, the Ifa, you said, and me with my Egyptian yoga. I mean,
right.
It's like harmony with that, you know, it's divine. So, you know, that was my week.
Man, so absolutely beautiful. But you said something, and I'm just so proud of you. Like, acknowledgement is everything in the world. Like, I want you to look up life path numbers, okay? And just look up life path number, and it'll tell you how to calculate your life path number. And your life path number will tell you your purpose here. And it'll tell you, you know, basically more about yourself. But for you to understand that you have a certain gift that she doesn't have and recognize that, it's like, yeah, no. Like, your partner is your yin and your yang. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Your partner is the balance of you, not the mirror of you. Like, and a lot of people don't get that analogy, and so
right.
I'm super proud of you for that. And that's just no matter who you're with, right? And yesterday I got up and I had started cleaning up, right? You know, I have my actual job. I have 2 full-time jobs, which is my actual job in YouTube, and I do YouTube 6 days a week solid. Sometimes 7, but 6 days a week. I'm doing some type of interaction with YouTube, okay? I'm doing a lot of mental work. It's draining. I got 2 kids at home, and regardless of what, I still have to, as of lately, come up here, clean up, cook, get my work done and try to rest. So my body has been going in overdrive on the rest portion, right? But I was talking to my people, and when I was cleaning up, I had some boxes in my room that I had to break down to put by the road. And I told them, I said, it was so ghetto to me because usually we have a set routine that whenever he's here on the weekend, whatever trash needs to be taken out, whatever needs to be done in the house, whatever, whatever, right? And our energy has been a little flaky, right? And normally whenever it's other people around in our energy, it gets like that. I know that I'm going to be one of those people. When I get married, we're not having people around. We don't want people to come stay with us because our energy aligns perfectly. And even though outside people don't know that their energy is throwing it off, whatever somebody's going through, whatever type of energy they have, that's the type of energy that's going to be in your surroundings, right? Period, right? And so he would always come in and handle all of this stuff, right? And during the weekday, I do not heavy clean, right? And I was laughing at him. I said, you remember when I used to be like Mommy Dearest, like cleaning up everything in the house, cooking every single day? And now, like, I got a real life, you know? I can't do all of those things every day, but my 7-year-old, he knows how to clean up, and the one he follows. So during the week, it's having them go spot clean. On the weekend, I go up, and then I actually clean, which is what happened this weekend. Haven't done it in a very long time, but it had to be done because it wasn't done, right? Right? And not to say, you know, for a long time, but it was time. So as I'm breaking down boxes, and then I felt the bathroom door knob needed to be tightened. So I tightened up the knob, and then I went in the washroom, and I was organizing the washroom, and I was like, wait a minute. This shit is ghetto. Like, I don't even do this. Why am I doing this? So I had to pick up the phone and, like, do you know that I am sitting over here doing X, Y, and Z? And he was like, nah, I don't believe you. Send me pictures. Like the yin and the yang. You know what I'm saying? Like, he works, but he knows that I work more than he works. And I don't expect anything from him. He just makes it happen because he know that I'm tired as shit, right, from doing what I got to do. So it's just really paying attention to the things and the people are around you. You never expect anything from anyone, but their actions are going to show you where their heart is. And I'm a genuine believer of that, right? So everything is going to work out. Definitely look at your life path numbers. So you can look up yours, you can look up hers, and then you can find out all of her strong suits, find out your strong suits. And I'm pretty sure that you're going to find something that's going to intrigue you, and you're going to dig a little deeper into that whole process. And, you know, as you should, because finding out about your life path is important. But, blah. All right. So let's get to the topic at hand, and that is, does it matter, is it a big deal if your partner's parent or parents don't like you? Mo, you're married, so I'm going to let you go first while I sit back.
Okay, so once again, tonight's topic is, does it matter if the parents of your partner like you? All right. I think it's highly, you know, I think it's, you know, and I think it's, let me see here. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking for the right words to really describe it. So right now, the only one I can think of is important. I mean, I do think it is important to get along with your in-laws, you know what I'm saying, especially if you marry or if you have, like you said, a kid with that, because it just keeps the peace, you know. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, I think it matters, but you only can just show your best self, you know what I'm saying, and if they can't accept that, then, you know, you'll try to make it work, but then I guess, you know, you might get to a point where it doesn't matter. But you know, I think you should definitely make an effort, you know, to show respect, you know what I'm saying, because they are elder, you know what I'm saying, even though all elders aren't more mature than the younger, you know, of the relationship all the time. But, you know, you should still show respect, you know what I'm saying, but if they're not get, but you only can, you know, show respect and give respect if you're getting that, you know what I'm saying, and but you got to warrant why you should respect it. So, you know, if you're doing your best self and you know, putting forth an effort, then the respect should be there. You know what I'm saying? And if that's the case, I think it should, you know, that you should like each other, vice versa. I mean, you don't have to love each other, but, you know, you want to definitely be cordial, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, because you just want to have a good family structure, because they are, if you are married, they become your in-laws. And if you are have a kid, you know what I'm saying, those are the grandparents, you know what I'm saying? So you want to have a healthy dialogue with that. So, yeah, that's my, I guess, my take on that.
All right. And so, and also, the reason that I let you go first is because you're a male figure, right? And so something that we touched on a couple weeks ago when they were saying, like, men automatically protect women, women automatically protect men. And I said in most cases that's not true. But peoples, keep in mind, in this situation it is. Here's why, okay? Here's why it's a difference. Let me see. Hold on. Here's why it's a difference. The difference is that when it comes to a woman and her daughter, right?
Okay.
She wants her daughter to be taken care of. So she's by default going to try to get along with the man, right? She's going to go based upon how the daughter interacts. You know, ooh, he good looking, you know. It's more credible because you have woman and male energy. The father, he wants the best for his baby girl, right, if he's in the life, right? Mm-hmm. And so the father looks and see what potential you have, and boom, you let it go. It's easy peasy. On the flip side, for women, right, it's almost always a lot of tension between the mom and the female interest. The mom and the female interest, like, no matter if they're verbal or not, she's sizing you up. This bitch, how does she look? What does she got going on? Da-da-da. You know what I'm saying? She's more so critical of the woman in her son's life. Whether it's the best son, the favorite son, the least favorite son, women are just critical because most of the time they already looking and trying to compare themselves to you, okay? Now, the flip side to this also, ladies, my answer is fuck no. It doesn't matter, right? When you look at women, most of these women, they have not been married, or if they have been married, they didn't last long. They haven't had a good relationship with the daddy. Like, they feel like what they know is how it is. And just like everything else in this world, shit is completely different from when they was raised up, right? And so when you listening to advice on a hurt motherfucker, hurt people, they going to give you fucked up advice in real life. You know what I'm saying? So when it all boils down to it, if he come and be like, you know, this is my mom, right? And your mama ain't never been married, but she got kids, or she ain't never been married to your motherfucking daddy, or she got a bunch of children and a bunch of different, you know what I'm saying, baby daddies, and, you know, she didn't been married to all of them, skip to the loo, right? Each one of those scenarios is going to tell me what I'm up against when I'm dealing with this person. So you can't ask me no questions that I can't ask you. I'm grown as hell. So that's number one. I think people get lost in this whole respect thing, like, oh, you should respect them because of this, and you should respect them because of that. Nah, that's not how this works. You're going to get the same respect that you give to me, and that's just on real life. Like, I see a lot of things, and I overlook a lot of things when it comes to these people. But most of these black women, they don't take accountability, and they're already lost in scorn. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not taking accountability. Somebody told me, you know, I don't change. I don't never change. And I said, oh, and I didn't open my mouth again. So I know not to listen to shit you got to tell me, because you haven't even ascended in your life. You haven't even grown in your life. You just comfortable with being what you are, and that's a human. You know what I'm saying? I pay attention to shit like that. They got a saying that said you can learn something from a bum, or you can learn something from everybody. Don't discount anybody. Don't write anybody out. But keep in mind, that thing that you're probably going to learn from them is going to be minute, or it's going to be one of those things to be like, yeah, I learned to not fuck with people like you. You know what I'm saying? Because in my lifetime, I pay attention to people's journeys, right? I don't care how fucked up of a past you had. It's not where you were. It's where you are now. You know what I'm saying? Sure. So I'm never going to judge you. If he go take me to his mama, and his mama got 5 kids, 5 baby daddies, right? I would more, and she's married now, I would more so listen to her Before I listen to somebody that got multiple kids, you ain't married, been married several times, separated, you're single now, you were single back then, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got to pay attention to what the fuck you even allowing to guide you. That's the moral of the story. You know what I'm saying? So if you're not doing better than I'm doing, how the freak you finna guide me? You know what I'm saying? Like, how is that going to work? So ladies put so much emphasis on the mammy liking them. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, I go. And most ladies, they go and they buying the mama stuff and doing this for the mama. It's just something that comes natural until you see the mama is all nappy-headed hoe, and she really don't have your best intentions, because she's just trying to get what she can get, but she's super messy. So when you find that shit out, you like, oh, fuck that bitch. And then there goes the beef. Ladies, stop trying to get up and in tune with they mama, bruh. Because at the end of the day, these mamas going to lie. These mamas going to be manipulative. These mamas going to be everything. And they only going to tell you the juice when they mad. They not mad. You're not going to find nothing. I respect you more if you just shut the fuck up. Don't tell me nothing when you mad that you won't tell me when you're not. I learned a long time ago to not, I don't even, bruh, fuck your mama, with all due respect. You know what I'm saying? Like, that ain't a goal of mine because it's harder for women than it is for men. These mamas so judgmental. Listen, if we have a child together, then I meet your mama. Because that means I got a soul contract with you. And I'm going to have to deal with your mammy. But it's exactly. going to come a time that, you know what I'm saying, and hopefully it doesn't, that I have to let a motherfucker know I'm super grown. What you ain't going to do is try me. You know what I'm saying? You do all that sneaky sideshow bob shit over there. But as soon as the shit get back, you are the weakest link. Goodbye. Other than that, I don't want to meet your mammy.
Yeah, I mean, I think
and that's all real talk.
Yeah, I think it should be, you know, the relationship should be serious, you know, before you even meet the parents and family and all that stuff, you know what I'm saying? I don't think everybody should, you should, I'm a big, I talk about this a lot, you know, I don't think you should bring, you know, just anybody around your family, especially like your parents and your you know, yeah, I just, you know, they gotta reach a certain level of relationship with you before you can, you know, let somebody in. You know, so,
right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess I get where you're coming from, you know, so.
Yeah, it's just, it's so much different when it comes to men and women because the mama, she go, oh, he's a nice guy and she wants you to be happy and, you know, all of that good stuff. And, oh, he handsome. When it comes to the woman, she sizes you up like, oh, what she look like? How she have her hair done? What she be having on? Bitch, we don't care nothing about that shit. I walk out the door with absolutely nothing on and still snatch your man and every other man that's sitting out that motherfucker's door. Looking like a motherfucker with some sweatpants and a t-shirt on. Understand that. You know what I'm saying? My mind radiates my motherfucking chakras and they can see my motherfucking light shining no matter what the fuck, you know? Like, most women, they just mellow-minded. You know what I'm saying? And I say most, and I mean most. I mean that. Like, most women are mellow-minded, and they don't take accountability. That's why you have women that's like, oh, he did all this. He played me. He left me after I did all this for him. Bitch, you weren't married to him. You the dummy. Take accountability for your actions. You know what I'm saying? Like, people lack accountability because the world makes people feel like they're a victim. They can play a victim card. If you're a victim, then you're weak. I don't want you around me. Because a victim is not a part of your circumstances. It's a mind frame. So if you live on a victim mentality type mind frame, I don't want you around me. Because whatever happens to you, karma's going to resolve that any damn ways. You worrying about the wrong damn thing.
Yeah,
it goes deep, but I'm just trying to stay on the surface level. It doesn't matter. The daddy's going to always like me.
Well, hold on. Before we go to the daddy portion, because I can speak on that a little bit, and then I'll tell you about the – I'm going to go back to the woman portion. Because like I said, like you said, the opposite, you know, it seems like for me that's been – like, I get along with my in-law very well, you know, my mother-in-law, you know what I'm saying? So we got a nice cordial relationship.
Exactly.
But, you know, I noticed that my wife and my mother, they got kind of just two different personalities altogether. So it's kind of like with them, it's like, you know how, like, I talk about this too. I've talked about this on past shows, but, you know, certain friends, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a complex person. So meaning that I have different types of friends from all different types of, you know, I don't have a lot of friends, and I keep my circle tight, but my, you know, the people that I am close with that I can call like my friends, you know, I got different types though, you know, different types of friends, maybe different types of cousins. So what I mean by that, you know, I know this friend, we can relate on this, and then this friend relate on that. But sometimes, you know, you ever have it where, like, you go out somewhere or it's a special occasion, and then those friends, my friend meets another friend. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm trying to say is I'm always aware of putting together like-minded personalities where I know it'll be cohesive, because sometimes I just got, you know, friends from different walks of life, and I just don't think they could – they'll be able to, like, kind of intertwine like that. I mean, they'll be cordial, but it just won't be a chemistry. So I guess saying all that, I noticed that, like, my wife and my mom, they just got two totally different personalities. So, like, it's like, you know what I'm saying? It's cordial, but it ain't like the buddy-buddy, you know what I'm saying? Like,
because women want you to come in, especially the older women, they want you to come in and fall under them. You know what I'm saying? And then if your personality is just too different, it's just like, oh, she weird. She not weird. She just not like you. What the fuck?
Yeah, I guess.
Like, man, that woman to woman shit is crazy. You understand
but,
me? It's
but,
crazy.
But,
that's why I don't be trying to get along
funny?
With nobody, mammy. And if I deal with your mammy, it ain't how you think I deal with your mammy. It ain't like we sitting around here shopping and doing all that. I'm sticking to my business. I'm going to deal with your mammy. I'm going to make sure she's straight. But at the end of the day, I'm handling my business. Me and none of my friends. Mo is the only person that I talk to every single week because we do the radio show. My friends, we all hustling. We all getting money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If me and Mo weren't doing the radio show and we was just cool, we would probably talk once a month, once every 2-3 months. And it's still all love. That's how my circle is. You know what I'm saying? I can, like PJ, I haven't talked to PJ since October. You know what I'm saying? That's bruh. I haven't talked to him in October. And then I needed him to help me do something this week. I called him, PJ, I need your help for something. Cool, he was here. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how it is. If he hit me up and be like, something going on, I'd be like, you need something? He'll be like, nah, I'm good. He, you know, like, but he's so solid, I'm always to make sure he's straight. And that's any of my friends, right?
True.
Here's where the shit happens, right? My friends are all males. My bestest of friends are all males. Here's what happens when it comes to females, right?
When it comes
to these bitches, to these women, to these slugs, they will sit down and let you give, pour, give. And then when it's time for them to do the same, the shit is weak. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, you know, you want to have all the sense, but then let a nigga come around and you trying to help a nigga do this and help a nigga do that, right? Women are like that. You know what I'm saying? Now, men, they going to make sure they chick straight, but men that got female best friends, they female best friend call them, they going to make sure they female best friend straight. Sometimes when it come down to their female best friend plus their partner, they going to make sure solidly that their female best friend is straight. Ain't no sex involved, ain't no none of that. But they understand the foundation of loyalty. And that's why my friends are males. My friends are males that we don't sleep together. We don't look at each other like that. It ain't nothing from nothing. But my male friends, look at Smooth, look at Mo, look at PJ, look at Bo. The people that I can pick up the phone and be like, hey, man, what's happening? My baby mamas. Right? Because if you a female and you around me, they be like, baby mama, they always checking up on my kids. They checking up on me, but they don't call me every day, every week, because they already know, like, I'm probably not going to answer the phone. And if I did it to them, they probably not going to answer the phone. You know what I'm saying? Your baby mamas is just chicks that's around. They going to make sure you straight, you know, and if they can make something happen, they will. But that chemistry between woman and woman versus man and woman is completely different. Now, all of the fathers that I've ever met and ever dealt with have always been solid. Have always been solid with me. You know what I'm saying? Always made sure their sons got in line, made sure their sons were straight. Shit, they ain't had no issues with me, period. But the mamas be real different, and plus I'm a go-getter. So more than likely, a mama is going to get up under me. You know what I'm saying? For a benefit. Now, here's the thing. Here's what women do. Women will be like, well, you know, I wasn't going to do it. You invited me to come out, so I did. So every single time I invite you to come out, you're going to go knowing you ain't never got no motherfucking money. You know what I'm saying? It's just an example. They're going to be quick to be like, but you invited me. Listen, if I was a motherfucker know that I ain't never had no money to do nothing extra and somebody always invited me out, I'm not going. I'm not going to be nobody leech. You know what I'm saying? And so I teach my kids that too. Like, y'all, like, this year they going and earning the shit that you get. Like, we finna have 2 birthdays. If y'all don't start cleaning up without me asking, ain't nobody getting nothing for their birthday. You know what I'm saying? And that's just how that is. Y'all going to be some sad motherfuckers because I go all out for y'all birthday. We don't celebrate holidays. So y'all birthdays, it's like, shit, magic. okay, y'all going to be sad this year. You know what I'm saying? But I teach them to earn what it is that they want and vice versa. So if you round a motherfucker that can't never bring nothing to the table, but, it, well, you know, you invited me, you offered me, you're just as bad. You're a fucking leech. You're a leech. You're a lowlife.
Wow.
Don't ever be that friend.
Yeah, that's a fact. Man, you know, I don't have time for that. Too mature for that nowadays. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man. But I guess
don't be that one that you always dishing out, giving, and there's no equal reciprocity. You know what I'm saying? Don't be that person either. Like, when you see that you're giving, and there can't be no equal reciprocity, then start giving. You know what I'm saying? You don't really have to worry about people coming up off of you. That's the one thing I never, ever worried about, because there ain't never been nobody that can be able to come up under me and come up off of me and be successful after they left. It's never fucking happened, right? Because the way that karma works, you know, my spirit guides a beast with it. So it's just kind of like I don't worry about people's intentions being around me. But as women, I don't have a lot of women. This is the most that I've had women around me from 2020 to the end of 2020 to now. This is the most that I've had women around me. My partners are all males, because you ain't going to have that messy shit. You know what I'm saying? They're going to come on some G shit and then let it be. But that's why my friends are males. And if you was a single parent and you had a daddy, that would be great. The mama, I tell people now, like, look, we ain't got no child together. I don't need to meet your mama. And that's my code.
Right. Yeah.
Even if I do meet them, I keep it brief. Hi, how are you? Okay, great. You go to asking me questions, I'm going to give you the same questions you asked me.
Yeah.
You ever been married? No, have you?
You know, on the contrary, just thinking, though, I guess the reason why, you know, a lot of times, too, you just go by examples of what you saw maybe coming up. So, cherish the relationship that my mother had with my grandmother, which was my father's mother. Like, they had a beautiful relationship. So it is times when it can work, and when it does, you know what I'm saying, it could be very beneficial to the kid, because, you know, like for me growing up, you know what I'm saying, their relationship being so solid, really.
Oh yeah, I mean, I grew up in a family environment, but at the same time, I didn't become a victim to my circumstances. I didn't force myself to get along with anybody. I just start, you know what I'm saying? My purpose and my destiny is different. When I see who you are, I don't want to be a part of you. Like my mother's side, my grandmother. Of course, she was married one time her whole life, and she had 5 kids from the one man that she married, and after they separated, she never got married again, and she passed that way. My granddad, he got married again, but my grandmother, she never got married again. But between my mom and my aunts and my uncles, all of their partners love my granny on my mama's side, and then vice versa on my dad's side, my granny, my aunties, and my stepmom, they all, you know what I'm saying, got along with them, right? But, you know, you go to see, like, how people are. One of my grandmothers was extremely religious, and then one of them was that she believed in God, but she was more spiritual. You know what I'm saying? That's the one who knew the juju. You know what I'm saying? And that's where I spent a ton of time. I spent a lot of time with both my grandmothers, but I spent, like, more quality time with my father's grandmother, right? Like, when I stayed with them, like, I slept in the bed with her up until the point of me starting to, like, hang out, what they say, smell yourself, to, like, 13. I slept in the bed with her. So I got that energy. I got that juju. I got all of that, you know what I'm saying, from her. You know what I'm saying? Like, that African, you know what I'm saying, that African tradition, you know, actually came from her. Didn't even know it was in me. You know what I'm saying? So I was very close with those women, but I also learned a lot from those women as well. You know what I'm saying? I didn't grow up in a hood family or nothing like that. I mean, my mom was married to my dad when she had me and my brother, and my auntie, you know, she was married to my uncle when she had all three of her kids. I got one auntie, she got two baby daddies, so she was with one, she had two from one, and then she was married to the other one and had a child from him. My uncle, you know, he was married to his first wife, she passed away, then he got married to his second wife, but his first wife, they had two kids, and then he got married to his second wife, they didn't have any. So all of my life, like all of the people that are in my life, my mothers, my aunts, and my uncles, they all were married to the same person when they had their children. Or if they got a divorce, it was still cordial. The ex-wife still was able to come around with the wives. Like, it was nothing like you see now. You know what I'm saying? It's nothing like you see now. It's no manipulative shit, no manipulative energy, no, none of that. It was all love through and through when it came up to family life, and that's why I'm so family-oriented. I just don't care for the female aspect of it.
Wow, that's, you know, that's deep.
I grew up in a tight-knit family.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, I just think it's, you know, so I guess getting back to the topic once again, so does it matter if the parents of your partner like you? So, I mean, closing thoughts on this? Man, I mean, I think it does matter, though. I think it matters somewhat, you know what I'm saying? It may not matter to you personally, but it matters to the family, to the kids, you know what I'm saying? I think it definitely matters, you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't just say it doesn't matter, but, you know, you only can do, if you put in your best effort, you know, to make it a respectable situation and environment, that's all you can do, you know, because just watch it, you know, like I said, one of my, I always reference this, how me and my wife, you know what I'm saying, one of our guilty pleasures is like watching a couple of different reality shows. But it's so wild, man, because, you know, you just learn certain things from just watching, people watching, kind of, so to speak. But, you know, you just see the dynamic of this, you know, relationship with the in-laws, how it comes into play a lot of times. And, you know, it can make things very toxic, you know what I'm saying, if it's not a cordial relationship. So I think you should always just try your best. But at the same time, too, you got to take people for what they are, you know what I'm saying? So that's why, to keep the peace or whatever, you don't want to put your wife or your baby father or your, you know, baby mother in a compromising position with your mother or your father or whatever. So that's why I think it's very important to just handle yourself in a mature way, so you don't let things get out of hand. You know what I'm saying? Because like I said, I know the type of, you know, I got a special relationship with my mother, of course, and same with my wife. But, you know, I ain't going to put them in a situation where I know it could be friction. You know what I'm saying? So if that's me, to, you know, keep that balance, you know what I'm saying? So I think that's very important, you know.
Right.
So I don't know what.
All
you,
right. Well, go ahead and take it in.
Well, all right. So look, I'm gonna need your help a little bit for the world famous chop up, because I mean, I got some topics, but I'm trying to make sure that we take it all away. So let me, you know, just introduce this segment of the show for the people out there listening. So for the people that's new to the show, this is the world famous chop up. So this is the part of the show where I get a chance to just talk my shit on certain things that I thought was very interesting throughout the week. So before I get into my chop up and my, you know, topics that I'm going to discuss, let me ask you, Black, this last week, was there anything that you was tripping on that you want to bring to the table for the world famous chop up?
Okay, so I'm going to take you in by 10 minutes, you know what I'm saying, to give you some time here. All right, so actor Bob Saget passed away at the age of 65. He was found in the Ritz-Carlton Hotel in Orlando, Florida. Bob Saget was a comedian, and he was the father on Full House. I grew up to him. So he was one of what we know of as one of the clean guys. You know what I'm saying? He was never in any bullshit. He was never caught up in the highly weird stuff. If he did it, it never hit the fan in reference to him. So him being, you know, a great guy that I can remember, they have to find out, you know, why he passed away. But, you know, that's another story. We're waiting on that to be determined. But sleep in peace, Bob Saget. He was up there with the Cosby Show, right?
Yeah,
Full
all
House.
His family shows, man. Yeah, that's
how the Olsen twins became the Olsen twins from that show. Was so adorable. So yeah.
All right.
Okay, so before I got some stuff that I'm, before I get into the meat and the potatoes. So, okay, boom, here we go. So, you guys know that, you know, Ari the Don, and I talk about my boo Ari all the time, and, you know, she get money, she do what she
it's
do.
It's been a minute since I heard her name. So, you know,
yeah, she been chilling, doing what she do, but it's a topic that I really want to talk about, and this is probably going to take me the rest of the 8 minutes in.
Okay. Wow.
Ari is a brand ambassador. She's Ari the Don. She's she is in a relationship with Moneybagg Yo, and she has a child by G Herbo. And G Herbo is now in a relationship with Fabulous's stepdaughter, and they have a child and one on the way, right? So that's just the background for you guys that don't know who Ari the Don is. She's a hustler. She handles a business. So she was on a talk show, and this is why people just don't do interviews anymore. Like the people that you see out, people just, it's not that people don't have anything to say, but it's when you do say something, everybody want to criticize you. So Ari did an interview, and she said, man, I like for my man to grab the pistol and be like, you know, you ain't never leaving me and, you know, choke me and all of this stuff right here. So all of domestic violence victims, right, got mad and, oh, Ari, domestic violence is nothing to play with and da-da-da-da-da. Now, one of her brand ambassadors was Fenty, right? Granted, I don't have anything Fenty. I've seen some nice items from Fenty. But remind you, I went one time to buy something from Fenty, and then they signed me up for automatic membership, and it was charging me $50 every month. I got it canceled. Then they sent something else and got it back reinstated. Then my bank sent me a new card. They was able to get through on that card by sending a contract, and I had to pay, basically say, listen, I don't want this shit. So that's how they talk about she a billionaire now, which nobody knows, right? She a billionaire. Yeah, because y'all stealing people money. But I digress. So I had to go through a lot. So I have nothing Fenty. And again, you know, much success to whatever she's doing. But it's said that Fenty supposedly dropped Ari the Don as a brand ambassador because of her saying she likes to be roughed up. Now, let me take you guys way back. Way back. The Chris Brown and Rihanna thing, when they was dating, they was a young couple, a young high-end couple. Now, Rihanna was full of shit. Rihanna got a bad girl mouth, and Rihanna was doing the most. Rihanna hit Chris Brown, and Chris Brown beat her ass. That's what happened, right? It came out in the court, I wasn't there, but guess what? It was so public that it went bananas. Now, the world forgot that Rihanna put her hands on Chris and played the not taking accountability card, saying, but she's a girl. No, bitch, you put your hands on a man, you get your ass beat like a man, right? I'm a firm believer that don't put your hands on no fucking body, son, and then cry wolf. So they went on this whole tirade to smash and bash Chris Brown's career, but Chris Brown is just so fucking awesome that he's going to always and forever be awesome. And he's paved by the world as, you know, this person, anything happens, oh, what Chris Brown did now. And he's not that type of person, you know what I'm saying? Like, he is what he is, but, you know, come on, for real. So anybody that says anything in reference to domestic violence is one of those things that she steps in and, oh, I wish you the best, and I get through it. I hope you get through it, and I understand. See, just because people have a lot of money don't mean that they have good hearts or souls. Just because you see people out making statements, there's people that be writing them statements for them. You understand me? Now, my thing with Rihanna is, at what point are you going to drop the victim card? Because if you're a survivor, then what's happening? And it's just amazing how she hasn't been able to put out any music. Now, she was still putting out music, but then she said, I guess she got tired, and she's not putting out music. Is that why she's not putting out music? Is that, you know, like she's like, okay, well, I don't need to do music because I'm doing so many other things. Apparently, at one point, allegedly, they were saying that it was somebody else invested in the company with her. Who knows? She got with this billionaire person. They broke up. Then she's running around here with ASP Rocky. Now, I'm wondering, how the hell did you go from a whole billionaire to ASP Rocky? That's an issue.
Wait, hold on. If you make your own money, it don't matter. She bossed up.
No,
that's
an issue in itself. When you are a woman,
what's the issue?
Right? Like that's an issue in itself. You went from somebody that was superior than you to somebody that was lesser than you. That walks around with his nails painted. Yes.
I don't agree with that.
So you went from somebody that was more superior than you to, you got to be a woman to understand it. As a man, you're not looking at it. Like, yeah, she giving somebody else a chance. It has to be something that was realized or something that happened for
just
you to go to somebody that was superior to lesser than.
Nah, I don't agree with that. But that would be, I digress, but, you know.
I digress. You won't get it. You're not a woman. You're a man. You're a very masculine man at that. So you're not going to get it. But neither here nor there, you know, at some point we got to stop playing this victim card, all right? And so if she did drop Ari, oh, well, Ari gets her money. It is what it is. You can't be mad at Ari for defending her fucking self. You know what I'm saying? Making a video defending herself. When you have a victim mentality, then that's what you are. Ari has survived domestic violence. See, I didn't call Ari a domestic violence victim. She survived domestic violence. Her baby daddy, you know, got into some altercations as well. You don't see her holding on to that shit like, oh, my God, and yes, girl power. Like, fuck that. You're either a victim or a survivor. So people that are victims are bitter. You know what I'm saying? Because you feel as though the world owes you something. You feel as though you've been wronged in some type of way. And most people like that. That's just their thought process, like a victim. Read up the definition of a victim. You're feeling like you've been wronged some type of way, not a survivor, not saying, okay, you know what? Back in the day, I popped this nigga and he beat my ass. I got through it. Life goes on. You're the victim of domestic violence, not even taking in accountability that you popped the nigga and he beat your ass. Just you got your ass beat. And that's the accountability part that people do not pay attention to. So keep in mind, when you are here hustling and you getting your shit and people are wanting to be in the limelight so much, the people that do not be in the limelight with their business, them people already know, like, fuck the public opinion. Right? And we do this radio show. This is the real talk. You know what I'm saying? When you trying to get out there, you don't want to be in these blogs. You don't want to be on these people news. Do what you do on the sideline. Get your money and sit the fuck down. Because they're going to come up with any narrative that they can. So when these people want to prove a story or try to prove you wrong, you can be right. They're going to go get other people to speak on it. That just means that them people don't think the same way that you do. But the public eye, they just see one person that thinks this way, and then the people that want to prove them wrong, they go get five people that think the other way, and then they say, okay, the person's wrong. No, motherfucker, we're all here to think differently, right? Which is how we have spirituality and religion, right? Control process, control thought process. You can get some people with different religions that still don't think like each other. You know what I'm saying? So being in the public eye is not really where you want to be. You know what I'm saying? Because you have these things going on, and the first thing somebody want to do is, oh, I don't want to deal with you no more because of what you said. Bitch, we have free speech. You know what I'm saying? I can't stand an old bitter bitch that can't deal with somebody talking about what the fuck they want to talk about because it's their motherfucking freedom of speech. And that takes me to this next topic. Really quick. I know you can backpedal, whatever. Now, you see how fast that people go to acting funny? You know what I'm saying? Like, they supposedly dropped her from Fenty. You see how fast that is when somebody feels like you've been wrong? That goes back to Tory Lanez. You see how fast everybody was quick to jump off Tory Lanez bandwagon, and then everybody started back dealing with Tory? That's how you know it's some shit going on in Hollywood that's going to come to the light. Oh, I can't wait. But anywho, those are my topics because, you know, I don't even be playing by, you know, when people doing underdog-ass shit and somebody get a name and they get a lot of money and then automatically the followers jump on their bandwagon like, oh, they got a lot of money, they got this, so I'm going to follow them. You don't even know how they got that. You don't even know how these people's souls are. You're not paying attention to who the fuck they are because they do as minimum talking as possible so that you can't really see how dark they are. Ding. Anyways, what topics you got?
So, all right, so here we go. So I'm going to freestyle a couple topics, you know what I'm saying? It's been a busy week for me, so you know what I'm saying? I usually have my notes a little bit more detailed, but bear with me. I'm going to still pop it off, you know what I'm saying, as only I can do. So speaking of Tory Lanez, right, Madonna was in the news, and I didn't get a chance to dive into this story, but I can kind of see it coming. But hopefully they can come to an agreement because I like the Tory album. It's called, what is it, Prom. It's, I can't think of the whole title, but it's like, you know, his newest album. It's Alone at Prime, I think that's what it's called. And it's like a retro 80s album, you know what I'm saying, done in 2021. You know what I'm saying? It just came out like about a month ago. And that's what she was referencing. But like I said, and I like it, you know what I'm saying, because it takes me back to that 80s, that, like, you know what I'm saying, that white soul, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that's when white folks, when they was making music, it was good music. It was something about that 80s, something about what you said, like the juju of the 80s, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm going to probably – dive into that a little bit too, man. Just to
right.
As I go forth with this, but anyway, Madonna, you know, accuses Tory Lanez of copying her 1985 song, and it's called "Into the Groove." So yeah, so I think they'll probably be able to work this out. I think Madonna, you know what I'm saying? She, as she's getting up there in age, you know, she want to make sure that she's still relevant, you know what I'm saying? And she's still always going to be just cool as fuck. She a Leo, you know what I'm saying? I recognize her Leo energy, you know what I'm saying? It's just the female aspect of it. But, you know, they'll probably mess around. I think Madonna's just, you know, putting this out there because, you know, hey.
What, you mean she just dropped the album?
No, she didn't drop an album. She just accused Tory Lanez, which I'm sure he did, of taking one of her, like rhythms from, you know, one of her songs from the 80s. Because I told you, have you listened to the new Tory Lanez album, by the way?
Not the whole album.
It sounds like an 80s album. So you can he took a bunch of, like, kind of 80s songs and redid them his way. So apparently one of the songs he did was a Madonna song. So she's accusing him. I don't know if she's going to come with a lawsuit or whatever, but she, you know, just accused. So what I'm thinking, now this is just my intuition kicking in. I don't know this to be true. This is just where I'm going with it, just from, you know, noticing how they both, well, how Madonna is, you know what I'm saying? Because I've been a Madonna fan through the years, man. I always just like to, so I think she probably just like putting it out there like, yo, Tory, you know what I'm saying? If you come with a video or you do something, we got to do something together, you know what I'm saying? Especially if you don't use my music, you know what I'm saying? So that's that. And speaking of the 80s, I just wanted to kind of, this is something that I had like a conversation with one of my colleagues with. And we were just talking about how the 80s, you know what I'm saying, how, you know, how now we just went into 2022 and you can see, you kind of feel like an energy shift, you know, you can see that we're in a digital wave and then we got this whole pandemic situation and it's the masks and, you know, everything's, the world is kind of changing, you know, from what we knew it, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, people are able to just order things from home and technology and all that. And it kind of reminds me of the shift that we had, you know, I was only, what, 2 years old when 1980 rolled in, but it was kind of like night and day, you know what I'm saying, from the 70s to the 80s, because if you really think about it, study the 80s brought in a lot of just new energy, technology, fashion, music, everything, you know, drugs, and a lot of people didn't survive the 80s, you know what I'm saying, a lot of people flourished in the 80s, a lot of people, Michael Jackson, to me, he didn't survive the 80s, you know what I'm saying, like, he flourished, but the fame went to him. You know what I'm saying? And you see the drugs, the crack epidemic, and stuff like that. So I say that to say this, like a similar shift in these new roaring 20s. You know what I'm saying? So I just wanted to kind of put that out there while I was just talking about, you know, some 80s stuff with the Tory Lanez and Madonna. So that's that. Let me see here. What else we got in the news? We don't have Smooth on the line, but I saw this in the news, and I just saw the headline or whatever. I didn't get a chance to dive into it, but rest in peace to the BlackBerry. So apparently they're not making any more BlackBerries, and it's over. So I don't know what Smooth is going to do once his BlackBerry, you know, the one he has, once that runs out or whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's not like he can re-up the model or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's just kind of like another, you just see the technology, man, like the old, out with the old, in with the new, man. And, you know, the BlackBerry is going to become a technology fossil. You know what I'm saying? Like nowadays, too, just recognize these like these little technology things that we used to use that, you know, aren't in vogue anymore. They become like fossils, man. Fossils of the new fossils of time. You know what I'm saying? People will look
back.
I
think he probably got an old BlackBerry any damn ways, knowing him. So he probably don't even give a shit. But I wouldn't get rid of mine anyways.
Right. So I guess as long as he can hook it up with a carrier, he fine. You know what I'm saying? So that's that. Let me see here. What else we got into? So, oh, another thing that was, you know, some just New York political story, and I don't know how this is going to shape up, man. Like, I'm eager to see this new energy. You know what I'm saying? Because this is the first time. I mean, they've had black mayors in the past, and I'm gonna tell you what I mean by that. But New York City, man. So, you know, January 1st. I saw we have a new mayor of New York. You know what I'm saying? So ever since I've been in New York now, going on, what, 20 years now I've been here. But basically, you know, I came in with Giuliani, and then it went to Bloomberg, and then it went to de Blasio. So I've been here for Giuliani, Bloomberg, and de Blasio. And they all had a different, you know, styles. Giuliani, you know, he get a bad rap, which, you know, he just been jumped out the window lately, you know, as he got older. But, you know, I take the good with the bad. You know what I'm saying? I give Giuliani, the one thing I'll give Giuliani props for was when I first moved up here, and it's kind of like, you know, it's aged since then, but, you know, you got to think in 20 years ago, you know what I'm saying? But he cleaned up 42nd Street, made it all nice and pretty by the time I got here. You know what I'm saying? If you talk to any old school New Yorker, they'll tell you how 42nd Street was just was raw. You know what I'm saying? That's the old 42nd Street you'll see in those old 70s, 80s movies with the prostitution and, like, you know, drugs. And, you know what I'm saying? You just going into Manhattan and 42nd Street and you could just do whatever, right? But then, you know, when Giuliani came in, I think Disney got behind it, and then you had all the lights, and it kind of had like a little, kind of like a Vegas kind of feel for a while. You know what I'm saying? All these stores or whatever. And now, you know, it's going through a whole new time because a lot of the stores that was very popular have, you know, because of the whole digital wave and, you know, Amazon and all that, you know, the stores aren't as popping in New York City as they were. So that's a whole nother change. But I say that to say this, because that was the Giuliani era. That was like the, you know, late 90s, early 2000s. And then we got Bloomberg. And I remember Bloomberg's situation, the way his structure of New York was, you know, because Bloomberg's a billionaire. But he ran New York like a business. And that kind of, like, politically, that kind of, like, put me on to, you know, how when Trump came into office, and I kind of understood his way of doing stuff, because these aren't politicians. They're businessmen first, and then they just got into politics. Whereas, you know, a lot of people, most people are politicians, you know what I'm saying? And that's what they do, you know what I'm saying? So when you get a business person that's business-minded, they can ruffle a lot of feathers because they're going against the norm, because, you know, they've been able to do stuff because they've been successful in their own ways, you know, with their different businesses. So, you know, I noticed that with Bloomberg. He organized a lot of things in New York. So his stamp on New York City was basically, you know, he made it less congested. Yeah, the tolls went up, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, so it cost more to, you know, to use the bridges and use the tolls and stuff in New York City, and then the transit went up. But at the same time, it got more more cars off the street. So, you know, New York wasn't just, you know, just traffic driven. So, you know, that was his claim to fame. Then we got de Blasio. Now, de Blasio, you know, his only thing that was interesting about him, you know, because he didn't really have a stamp on the city. The only thing was with him, he had a black wife. He was a white dude, black wife, mixed kids. You know what I'm saying? I think his wife used to be like a lesbian back in the day. You know what I'm saying? So that was just interesting about de Blasio, like white dude with black kids. You know what I'm saying? Black wife. So that was like his claim to fame. So now, as of, you know, all the way, like the last couple bumps of 20, you know, 21, I was seeing all these different ads for the different mayors. You know what I'm saying? It was all different types of people. I think Smooth's guy that was, I think he was ran for president for a minute. I think his name was Andrew Wayne, Asian guy. I mean, he was running for mayor. Then it was this one Spanish, white Spanish-looking lady. She was running for mayor. And then this black dude named Eric Adams, right? So, and I see Puff, I think, might have co-signed him, endorsed him or whatever. Got a real heavy New York accent, right? So I wasn't, you know, I don't read the news. And, you know, the only really politics I really keep up with is, like, when it's a presidential, you know what I'm saying? That's when I'm kind of, like, all in. These mayors and stuff like that. You know, once it happens, it happens. But I'm not, like, all in like that. So, anyway, I say that to say this. Apparently, as of January 1st, that's when a new mayor took office. You know, so de Blasio, that was it for him. You know what I'm saying? Who knew? I didn't know it, at least. And Eric Adams, black dude, right? He ended up winning. So I guess he's a Democrat. I'm not even sure because I don't keep up with that like that. But just from what I see, it seems like he's probably like a Democrat. So it's just going to be interesting. I know they've had black mayors in the past. I think in the 70s and in the 80s they had a black mayor. I couldn't think of his name, but this is going to be interesting to see what's his stamp going to be on New York City. So, you know, it's always interesting when, you know, Gotham City gets a new mayor. So, you know, it's just something to kind of, you know, keep my eye on or whatever, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, the new governor, of course, they got Cuomo up out of there. And I don't even know who the new governor's chick name, but she's been governor. She took over like a few months ago. She's been doing a lot of heavy lifting with this whole COVID situation. You know what I'm saying? She's been really on par. Like I was speaking of how in New York, as of the 27th of December, you know, anybody that works, has more than 100 employees, you have to be vaccinated and stuff like that. So you're just seeing the differences. So it's going to be interesting to see how she correlates with the new mayor, which is Eric Adams. So, you know, that's some New York City news. Let me see here. So what else we got? I covered that. I got a chance to watch a cool movie. I'll do a movie review. Haven't done a movie review in a while. You know, here in the world famous Chop Up, you know, like my main, I usually always talk about music because that's like my number one. You know what I'm saying? I love music as well as reading. You know what I'm saying? Those are my two favorite just activities to do when I'm just relaxing and stuff like that. So, and then, you know, I watch my reality program with my wife. But when it comes to movies, I like old school movies, you know what I'm saying, from like the 80s, 90s, and even some of the, a lot of the 70s old black exploitation movies. The only movies I like now, to be honest, is like adult film, you know what I'm saying? But as far as movies, it's really got to be something to grab me, right? Because I only really key in on directors, but now the directors that I used to really rock with back in the day, they're all getting old. You know what I'm saying? I'm a big fan of Woody Allen, you know, contrary to, you know, I know he's not the most popular person personal-wise, but to me, he's a genius movie-wise, you know, especially when I was moving to New York. You know what I'm saying? I love the way he tells a New York story, you know what I'm saying, the dialogue. So big fan of Woody Allen. I was always a big fan of Spike Lee, you know, but he's getting old. Like I said, Woody Allen's getting older. Spike Lee, you know, he's got older, so his movies aren't as relevant as they were because he's just in a different space now. But, you know, School Days is probably like my favorite Spike. It is my favorite Spike Lee movie. But once again, I concentrate on directors. And, of course, my favorite director is Quentin Tarantino, and he's even getting up there. So I say that to say this, is I'm a very particular about movies. You know what I'm saying? I'm like a movie snob, basically. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's really got to be something to catch my attention. And lately, nowadays, it's all superhero movies. And so I'm really not in the superhero movies. You know, it's only been a couple that I really liked. You know what I'm saying? I like the Batman, the old school Batman with Michael Keaton that came out like 1989 with Jack Nicholson as a Joker. That was one. I did like Black Panther. Shout out to Black Panther. You know what I'm saying? I thought that was good. It was just, you know, a movie for us. You know what I'm saying? Superhero type of movie. And then I like the old school Supermans with Christopher Reeves. You know what I'm saying? So them the, you know, the real old school, like the old school one that came out in the 80s with Richard Pryor. You know what I'm saying? So that's just where I'm at when it comes to superhero movies. I'm not into the whole, what's the Marvel comics and all this other shit. It's just too much, right? Even though, I mean, I can't watch it because I think I can see through a lot of the stuff, you know what I'm saying? Because it is a lot of jewels you can catch, and I think that's why it's popular or whatever, but it's just so oversaturated. But I did get a chance to, it was on HBO, to watch, it's called Wonder Woman, it's called WW1984. So Wonder Woman 1984. And I always fuck with Justice League, you know what I'm saying, when it comes to, like, superhero type stuff. Even though the Justice League movie wasn't all that to me. But this Wonder Woman was kind of interesting because it takes place in the 80s, in 1984, and I was just talking about the 80s earlier. I was like, you know what? I got some free time. Let me just put this on. I was bored. And it actually was pretty good, man. I love the jewels in it. You know what I'm saying? It was definitely a thumbs up. You know what I'm saying? I definitely recommend it. You know what I'm saying? It's just like a cool little entertainment. You know what I'm saying? A couple of hours. But I like the jewels in it, too, man. I like how – I like the story of Wonder Woman, how, like, she was from some Amazon tribe, ancient Amazon women tribe or whatever. And, you know, she's kind of like a, I don't want to say a vampire, but she's like, you know, forever young. And she has her, like, superpowers or whatever, you know, her Amazonian superpowers or whatever. And, you know, she had fell in love with this one dude that died in the first movie or whatever. But he died in, like, World War One. He was, like, a pilot. And anyway, long story short, I don't want to get a movie away. But it comes back, it takes place in 1984, so it's got the 80s. It's like it opens up with a mall scene, you know, and the malls are so old school, man, because, you know, the malls was it back in the day, especially the ones in Cleveland, man. And we had some dope. We actually had one of the biggest malls until the one in Minnesota, but it was called Randall Park Mall, but it's closed now. But it was a huge mall. It looks like that's where they kind of filmed it. It has a similar look. But anyway, I say that to say this. Just a good flick, man. I like the jewels. As always, you know, it always goes back to Egypt. You know, so the basic premise of the movie was this one dude was kind of down on his luck because he was, you know, trying to become a big oil guy. You know what I'm saying? Billionaire oil type dude. But the lot that he bought didn't have oil, so he was down on his luck because a lot of his investors was, like, coming after him for the money. And he just didn't have it because the place he invested in didn't have the oil. So, you know, he had been studying this ancient stone, and he saw that it got donated to this museum. So he kind of finessed his way to get the stone. And then, you know, the stone, he figured out, could carry wishes. And then he kind of became the stone, so he was able to grant wishes. And, you know, so the premise of the movie is so then Wonder Woman figures it out, and she, you know, basically comes in and has to kind of deal with this or whatever. But, you know, it was pretty good, man. It's just, you know, it was an interesting movie or whatever. I just thought it was done pretty good. So, you know, shout outs to that. I got a chance to see that the other day, and you know, I was entertained. You know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna lie. And let's see here. So lastly, let's get into the sports report. So a couple quick things. You know, we got about 8 minutes. Take us out of here. So first off, man, I wanted to address Antonio Brown. I got a chance to talk about it a little bit last week. Wow. All right. So I'm kind of torn. You know what I'm saying? Two ways. One, fan, man. I love the structure of football. I just love the sport of it. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to get into the whole, like, a little bit of a playoff preview because, you know, I think the Raiders is the Raiders and the Chargers are playing right now to find who's going to be the final spot in the playoffs as we speak because, you know, we tape the show Sunday nights live. But anyway, Antonio Brown, like, I don't agree with what he did, but I understand it, and I kind of just dig it for him. You know what I'm saying? So basically, if you follow Antonio Brown – or if you heard of the news. So Antonio Brown, right, You know, his latest team was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which he won a Super Bowl with last year with Tom Brady. You know what I'm saying? Tom Brady, that was his first year in Tampa Bay, you know, after having his long Hall of Fame, historic, GOAT, NFL quarterback, best of all time career with the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick, right? So last year, you know, he kind of got his LeBron on, went to a new team, pretty much assembled the team, you know what I'm saying? He was kind of like the quote-unquote GM, you know, saying bringing in people that he liked and, you know, it made sense because, you know, he's put in his time and he didn't have that type of authority in New England. So, you know, he got Gronkowski, who was his, you know, Hall of Fame tight end back in New England to come out of retirement and come play with him. And then Antonio Brown had a stint on the New England Patriots last year. But Antonio Brown is always a drama king, so to speak. So, you know, he ended up from there. But he had a great relationship with Tom Brady. So Tom Brady, you know, once he was in position and with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, got Antonio Brown down there. And last year worked out lovely, you know what I'm saying? They won a Super Bowl. Antonio Brown was a prominent part, you know what I'm saying, had a big game in the Super Bowl. So he came back this year. But, you know, things got a little rough with Antonio Brown this year because, you know, he got suspended this year for having a fake vaccination card, you know, for the COVID protocol in the NFL. So, you know, he got suspended 3 games. Now, if he wasn't Antonio Brown, he was just an average player, he would have got cut for that. But because he has talent, you know, they was able to bring him back. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, they didn't, quote-unquote, fire him for you know, having a false vaccination card. So long story short, now he came back, you know, a couple games ago, and they're like, two top receivers was hurt. You know, Mike Evans and I can't think of the other guy's name. I think Godwin is his last name. But anyway, they're two, like, kind of Pro Bowl-type receivers was hurt, so it was perfect for Antonio Brown to come back, but he was also injured, you know, even though he was suspended, he was actually injured as well. But perfect time for him to come back and just really be the man because now they really need him. So long story short, I guess, last weekend, he apparently was hurt, and the coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Bruce Arians, told Antonio Brown to go back into the game. Antonio Brown apparently said he didn't want to go in back into the game because his ankle was hurt. And so then the coach said, all right, man, get the fuck out of here. So that's when Antonio Brown said, okay, really? All right. So then he took off his shoulder pad, basically, you know, took his shirt off and, you know, said goodbye to the crowd on national TV. So, you know, at first they tried to paint it like, you know, you look at this, you've never seen this happen. Like, this dude is crazy, you know what I'm saying? Like, who does that? But, you know, it's Antonio Brown, man, and that's just how he is. Have you studied his career? Like, every team he's been with has been like a – it's been a situation where he left, you know, in a dramatic fashion, you know, starting with the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know what I'm saying? Mike Tomlin, Mike Tomlin apparently was – after the game was in a close-knit conversation with his players, and he had Mike Tomlin on Facebook Live. Now, apparently Antonio Brown didn't mean nothing by it, but that's a private moment. You know, he could have said something that was very only meant for those ears, and now it's out in the public, and then, you know, he could get canceled for that in this type of environment. So, you know, that was a violation. And then, you know, so the fan there eventually, and he went to the Oakland Raiders with John Gruden. Shit didn't work out there, and then he went to New England Patriots, and then he, you know, got into some domestic violence type of situation. He got caught texting when he wasn't supposed to or whatever, and they put it out there, and then he got cut, and now he got to Tampa Bay, and this is how he left. So definitely, I mean, he's a Hall of Fame talent. I hope this his off-the-field actions doesn't keep him out of the Hall of Fame. But, you know, that's Antonio Brown, man. That just goes with his whole flavor. You know what I'm saying? So I'm a fan. I think this might be it, though. I don't think he's probably going to get another chance. But you never know, man. Football, he's still talented. If somebody needs him, but you know what you're getting with him. You know, he's a drama king, man. So, you know, that's my situation. That's my take on Antonio Brown.
shout out to the playoffs, man. I got 2 minutes left before we get up out of here. The playoffs is about to start. I'm going to really get into my playoff analyzation next week, you know what I'm saying, because we're going to have the first round of the playoffs. I don't really have all my notes together yet just to kind of, you know, go in game by game to really set it up for the people out there. But stay posted next week. I'll definitely have a little bit more in-depth conversation about the playoffs for all my sports heads. And big shout out to Kyrie Irving, man. You know, I know Black has been a big fan and of his whole situation, of how he's, you know, not vaccinated and, you know, kind of just standing up for what he believes in. It's respectable. But, you know, he came back already for a game a couple of days ago, had a good game. I'm definitely going to be watching. He's got a game that's going to be on ESPN on Wednesday against the Chicago Bulls, the surprise kind of Chicago Bulls. Shout out to DeMar DeRozan doing his thing. I'm going to probably watch that game on Wednesday and, you know, give my analyzation of where the Nets could be going. Big shout out to Brooklyn. So that's pretty much it, man. This has been the world famous Chop Up. As always, big shout out to Black with the Topic. Big shout out to me with the world famous Chop Up. Big shout out to Smooth. You know, hope you're doing better with this whole COVID situation, man. Hope you see you back next week. And as always, follow the Twitter page, man. Real Adult Talk, TAWK. You know, I keep it live there. Definitely got my top 10 list that I'm working on. About to blaze that off in the next, probably like, you know, within the next month or so. So be on the lookout for that. And as always, we'll just get some guests on here too, man, for this new year, man. I'm just, you know, everybody can't handle this real adult talk situation, man. So we got to get the right, you know, the right guest in here, man, to talk these topics, man, especially we get into some adult topics. But anyway, everybody out there, be safe. You know what I'm saying? As we stomp into this 2022 new year. But as always, man, we'll catch you next week, same time. And everybody be good. Peace, peace, peace.